Hello, everyone. This is Jack Maynard, pastor of Cornerstone Baptist Church in Greenville, Mississippi, with a Cornerstone devotional from Colossians 1, verses 17 and 18. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. It was the 1925 World Series. The Washington Senators were playing the Pittsburgh Pirates, and the game was close. Finally, Goose Goslin of the Washington Senators came to the plate. The ball was pitched, and strike one. The catcher threw the ball back to the pitcher. Goose readied himself again. The pitcher let a screaming ball loose toward the home plate. Strike two. Goose stepped out of the batter's box. He took a step or two. He stepped back into the box and he readied himself. The pitcher wound up and flung another pitch. Goose caught the ball with the sweet part of the bat. It was a long drive into center field. Goose took off running. He rounded first as the ball passed the center fielder. He ran toward second. He rounded third as the fielder threw the ball toward home plate. Goose made a running dive for home as the catcher caught the ball and spun to tag him. It was a photo finish. The crowd jumped to their feet, some screaming, "He's out," and others screaming, "He's safe." The umpire didn't say a word or make a call for a minute. Finally, he signaled for a megaphone and motioned for silence. An eerie hush fell on the field, and the umpire spoke. He said, "We have seen some great playing today. Both teams have been good sports and have shown why they deserve to be in this series. Now, Goose touched home plate before the catcher tagged him, and the stands erupted. After a moment, the umpire called for silence again. "Goose beat the play home," the umpire said. "The problem is that he never touched first." People began shouting, "But this is Goose, and this is the World Series." And after the noise died down, the umpire continued, "I know this is Goose, and I know this is the World Series. But you can't go home unless you touch first." You know, the same is true in our lives, friends. You may get to second by being a good friend or having a trail of good deeds 100 miles long in your life. You may get to third and be baptized and join a church. You may have attended church since you were a child or taught Sunday school, been a deacon in your church, or given $1 million in offerings through the years. You might even preach or serve as a missionary in some foreign land and believe you're headed for home. But it doesn't matter at all if you haven't touched first. Nothing in the world that you do matters in the end if you haven't first been born again through faith and entered into an all-consuming, life-transforming relationship with Jesus Christ. It's just true. Jesus will not take second place or some place in our lives. He must occupy the supreme place. He is to be preeminent before anything and anyone else. From Isaiah 42, verse 8, hear what God says. "I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another." This means, unfortunately for the selfish nature in all of us, that God will not share His glory even with us. If we desire to put ourselves first, to have what we want and to do what we please, God will allow us each of these choices. However, He will not have us as His saved, redeemed children until we surrender all rights to govern our lives ourselves and take Him to be Lord with all rights to our lives. This is the strict essence of Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, where the Bible instructs us, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Listen with your heart to Colossians 1, verses 15 through 20. He, speaking of Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Back to the baseball metaphor for a moment. Even though the player made a powerful hit to deep center field and ran the bases and slid safely into home plate, he was disqualified for home because he failed to make firm contact with first base. Imagine a baseball diamond where first base represents Jesus Christ and second base represents the sinner's prayer. Third base represents baptism and home plate represents church membership. Many people, because they've not listened with their hearts to truly understand the gospel, have on their way around the spiritual bases to make it home with the assurance of salvation, stepped over first base. They verbalized a sinner's prayer. They followed it with baptism and church membership and believe that they have done what is required to obtain the guarantee of heaven. And yet, the evidence that they missed the first priority, Jesus, is that there is no real godly sorrow over their sins, no fear of their just damnation, no recognition of the awesome holiness of God. There is no genuine desire to give up control of their lives to Jesus as Lord. In effect, they are trusting in the three religious acts they did at second and third and home plate to save them. Sadly, on judgment day, they'll be just like the baseball player who rounded the bases and slid safely across home plate. They will be disqualified for a home in heaven because they never touched first. They never touched Jesus. Jesus mentioned people just like this in Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Over and over, the Bible makes clear that there is no outward religious act and no humanly perceived goodness that God will substitute for the full inward renunciation of self in its entirety in favor of the full wholehearted acceptance of Jesus as the one to whom we offer willingly the right to remove from us what he pleases, add to us what he pleases, and make of us what he created us to be. Mark it down. No outward religious act and no perceived goodness. Paul explained further in Galatians 2, verse 16, a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified. And so you see, doing what we perceive is right and keeping rules, doing the best we can, none of it can save us. Only when we give up completely trying to be saved in these ways and receive Jesus as Lord, trusting in him and in his death on the cross and resurrection from the dead as our means to eternal life, may we be saved. Jesus is fully God from all eternity past to all eternity future. And Satan is so thoroughly deceptive that he can fool people into believing they've taken Jesus to be Lord by faith, while in fact they're really living as they please and trusting in religious acts such as a sinner's prayer, a baptism, a church membership, a Sunday school attendance, church duties, missions work, donating to the church, and any other number of deeds. But friends, we have no righteousness in and of ourselves. only the righteousness of Christ imputed to us when we have surrendered all to Him is that which proves salvation. Jesus chastised the self-righteous, very religious Pharisees for this very thing. They not only believed they were saved and right with God because of their Jewish heritage, but they trusted in their religiosity. The religious act that they were trusting in for salvation was the study of Scripture. And yes, they needed to study Scripture, but studying Scripture was not their way into salvation. Jesus said to them in John 5, verses 39 through 40, and then in verse 42, "You study the Scripture diligently, because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very Scriptures that testify about me, and yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts." And Jesus pronounced them to be hypocrites and said in Matthew 23:33, "You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell?" Any religious act could be substituted for studying Scripture in order to capture the essence of Jesus' admonishment. Every religious act and deed that God credits as right on our account follows genuine salvation, because only then do we truly do them for Christ's glory rather than our own. The real question pertains to which love really consumes us. Do we really only have consuming love for ourselves in our hearts? Or do we have consuming love for Jesus Christ in our hearts? And so, beloved friends, touching first is the only way home. As Creator, Jesus made all things. He is before all things and holds all things together. Jesus is the head of the church and is to have the supreme place in everything and in everyone's life. He indeed is truly King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He is to truly be your King and your Lord. And so think reflectively and honestly. Have you run the spiritual bases and believed you've made it home, but realized that you really never touched first? Maybe you realize that you've never even tried to make it home with Jesus. In either case, now is the time to get things right. Now is the time to run as fast as you can and touch first. Touch Jesus. I'm Jack Maynard, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Baptist Church in Greenville, Mississippi, and Executive Director of 1P26 Ministries, Inc. You can find me at cornerstonedelta.com and at 1P26.org. Blessings to all.